Lord God, merciful and gracious Father, as we enter upon another Lenten season, graciously help us to humble ourselves before your holy word, that we may recognize our sinful nature and acknowledge that we have no merit before you. As we ponder the sufferings of Jesus, bless us with greater faith in him, so that we depend on him alone to be our Savior from sin. Help us this Lenten season to clean out our lives of everything that is evil and contrary to your holy will, so that we may celebrate Christ's resurrection with pure hearts and reflect your love into the world. Bless us tonight as we receive the Lord's Supper and meditate on Christ's suffering and death. In his name we pray, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The text chosen for this evening is written in the 26th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 46th verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. And while Jesus was speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came out from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given him a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they laid hands on him, on Jesus, and took him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear repentant worshipers on this Ash Wednesday, as we've said before, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. Lent is a season of repentance concerning our sins. It is designed to help us prepare for Holy Week. We need to see just how far off, away from God we are in terms of our sins, so that we can appreciate what Jesus has done by his suffering and death on the cross. Therefore, we need to acknowledge our sins and to acknowledge that we are worthy of death in order that we may appreciate and marvel in God's forgiveness. Our theme that we have chosen for this series of six lessons is people who have judged Jesus. As we hear those who judge Jesus and condemned him, and for what purposes and reasons they have, we look at our lives and see whether we have fallen into the trap of sin and turned from Jesus in our lives. And we do this in order that we may draw closer to Jesus, and that we may get rid of in our lives the sins that beset us. Now, Jesus had told the people, "Do not judge." But Jesus was referring to the judging the actions or thoughts of other people, because we don't know those thoughts and we can't read people's thoughts and we're not to judge. But Jesus certainly does mean that we are to judge truth from falsehood, good from evil, and we are to judge what is sinful because we have God's word that tells us what is sinful. We do not have to judge those who rejected Jesus. They will fall under God's judgment on their own. But we need to recognize their wrong judgments so that we do not fall into their trap and be lost. Tonight we consider a disciple of Jesus, that is Judas, the one who judged money to be more important than Jesus. As we look at our text and look at the Judas life, we see that he judged, made money more important than Jesus, but Jesus judged that his life was less important than us. Now, Judas seemed to have everything going for him. Of all the disciples that we know about in Scripture, Judas was the only one that was from the tribe of Judah, just as Jesus also was from the tribe of Judah. He was the one who was educated. The others were in the north. They were simple fishermen. Some could read, but for the most part, he was the one who had studied, and he knew his Scripture, and he was educated. In fact, Jesus and the disciples had chosen Judas to be the treasurer. And this was a special blessing that Judas had. People would give him money out of their love for the Lord. And he had the blessing of being able to give that money to other people who were poor, perhaps at the instruction of Jesus or out of his own will. And they would have been grateful to him for the gifts that he had given to them. And so he had a special blessing and closeness to the Lord. We could even say that if anyone were to get to heaven given these advantages, it would have been Judas. But Satan had trapped Judas with a love for money. How he did it, I don't know. But we see in the reading where at Simon's house, we see the evidence of that trap, where in other gospels, it was Judas who objected to pouring the oil over Jesus' head. And Judas, who knew that it was worth 300 denarii, which is almost a year's wages, it was Judas who said that this should be sold and given to the poor. And John explains that it was because he was a thief. He didn't care for the poor at all, but he wanted the money for himself. Now, Judas then was tempted to put money ahead of everything else, including Jesus. Soon after this incident, we heard in our reading tonight that Judas went to, soon after the supper with Simeon, Judas went to the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and asked how much they would pay if he betrayed them, Jesus, to them. And they counted out 30 pieces of silver, which is the exact amount that the prophet Jeremiah was told to count out and buy a potter's field. And all of this was a type of Christ and fulfillment with what they agreed to. And Judas was so blind that he was willing to receive the 30 pieces of silver in exchange for betraying Jesus. Our text shows that Judas was faithful to his bargain. He went with the crowds to the high priest. He led them to Gethsemane, where he knew Jesus was. He came to Jesus and kissed him. Judas gave a sign of friendship to Jesus and used it as an act of betrayal. All of this was for money. Satan had so twisted his mind that he was willing to do this for Jesus. Judas may have judged that Jesus could not make himself a king in Israel without Judas's help. And when Judas felt that Jesus wasn't doing this, we don't know what reasons Satan gave for Judas to do this. But for him, money became more important. This judgment of Judas still exists today in our world. Money, worldly fame, and power and influence all become more important than God or Jesus himself. Those who trust in riches make a God out of their wealth. We can say, is gambling a sin? When we put something on the lottery or something else, we're throwing away our money for nothing. We're wanting to try and get something else for nothing. And is that a sin that we need to watch so that we don't trust money more than others? Now, we have to be careful. Having a saving bank is not a sin. What is a sin is to trust in that for our future and not trust in God. All our money could be taken away, just like that. Whether a stock market crash or a fire that burns our house down and we have to spend all our money to replace our house, any of those things could happen. The fact that they don't is by God's grace. And so we need to ask ourselves tonight, are we judging money and other things be more important than Jesus? Are we discontent because of the things that God gives us? Putting riches before God can result in the neglect of God's word. Jesus said we can't serve two masters, that is mammon and God himself. Do we find ourselves too busy with worldly things to have family devotions? Do we judge that a sports game or a TV show is more important than prayer or reading God's word or going to church? If these things are part of our life, then we need to understand that we're in danger of the same things that Judas was doing, making something else more important than Jesus? Are we so worried about our finances that we don't trust God to help us? Consider that with death, we lose everything that we have amassed here in this world. On Judgment Day, all the money in the world is not going to buy our way into heaven. And everything that we take pride in this life, is going to be burned up on Judgment Day. It'll all be destroyed. And God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And that's why Jesus asked, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" St. John warns, "Do not love the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, wealth may gain some people a short reprieve of happiness and joy in this world, some comfort and peace. But if a person has neglected God, what comfort and peace will he have on the last day when God does not allow him into heaven because he judged money and other things more important than God and his word? Remember what Jesus said to the devil. "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And so our life, our future life, is in God, in Jesus. And that's why Jesus is so important to us, because he judged his life to be less important than us. Humanly speaking, Jesus had every right to be angry about Judas' betrayal. Here he had done everything he could to warn Judas. He had helped Judas and taught him for 3 years. And here Judas betrays him with a kiss. But notice what Jesus says in reply. "Friend, why are you come? Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Note how Jesus calls Judas a friend. Still, in spite of this, he wanted Judas to see that Jesus did not hate him. And he also told him who he was. "Are you betraying the Son of Man? That is your Creator, the one who is your Messiah? Are you betraying him with a kiss?" Judas was to remember these words. He was to see God's loving kindness towards Judas in these words. God and Jesus intended that he consider this and repent of his sin and believe that Jesus would forgive him this sin. You see, Jesus loved even those who judged him to judge something else worth more than him. He loved them and he gave his life for them. He died for their sins in order that they could have eternal life. Had Judas pondered what Jesus said to him, he might have repented of his terrible deed just as Peter did later. Jesus even died for that sin of betrayal. He took upon the cross the curse of the law and carried all of the sins of the world, and that's your sins and mine as well. He was willing to offer his life to suffer and die for us because his life was less important than ours. The Bible says, "Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." Jesus, therefore, has not dealt with us according to our sins. He hasn't condemned us when we have trusted in riches or turned away from him. The Bible says Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Yes, we can say life was precious to Jesus. He is the Son of God. He is the Prince of Life. He gave life to the world. And yet, he was willing to lay down his life as the Good Shepherd so that we could have eternal life. That is why he came. And that is why we need to trust in him alone, because he loved us. We need to understand what Jesus says in this Lenten season, that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. We don't need to worry about our lives. We can plan and do other things, but worry, we don't need to, because God will provide for us. The most important thing that we need to consider is, where is our eternal rest going to be? Is it with Judas or with Jesus? You see, Judas realized what he had done, and his conscience smote him. And he went back to the Sanhedrin, and he threw the pieces of silver before them and said, I have betrayed an innocent man. But Satan so robbed him of his senses that he didn't think that God could forgive him. And so disturbed was he that Satan moved him to commit suicide. Here was an act of unbelief in God's mercy. And Judas is spending eternity in hell, not for his betrayal, but because he rejected the mercy and grace of God. He didn't believe that it was for him. Let us not fall into that trap. And so this Lenten season, we need not only to repent of our sins, but also to eject sin out of our lives. And the more we try it, the more difficult we'll see that to be. Nevertheless, this is how we glorify God. And this is how we keep Satan from tempting us, by resisting temptation, by doing what God wants us to do, to love one another, to care for one another, to read his word. And this is what Lent is about, to help us to pray that God would keep us in his faith and help us in our fight against sin. Judas judged that all was not right with the Messiah. Satan had convinced him to judge money more than Jesus. He found that gaining things in this world meant losing his soul. He got the worst bargain. Let us pray that God would keep us from sin and greed and covetousness and selfishness and discontent, so that God would forgive us our sins in Jesus Christ, and that during Lent we seek after our spiritual blessings, so that at Holy Week we can appreciate what Jesus has done for us in his life and death and resurrection. May the Lord be with us as we contemplate his suffering and death. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.